Well, good morning and welcome to Grace Point Church. Man, we're excited to be here. I'm excited to be over here with you. I'm Pastor Jack. For those that don't know me, I'm the kids pastor. And well, anyways, you guys are crazy. I love you. I love you. And I love this church. I'm so thankful to get to be a part of what God is doing in this place. It's just amazing. Thank you. God bless you. Well, this morning, I'm going to get right into my message because I don't want to keep you too long, and I've got a lot to say. Is that okay? All right. Well, this morning, I just want to talk to you really quick about a man can't just sit around. Okay? Now, I want to tell you, have you ever done something that was risky? I mean, like, really out there. You were sitting around, you were really bored, and you came up with this crazy idea, and you thought, yeah, I think that'll work, you know? Yeah, I'm going to try that. Well, I want to tell you a story about a guy that did that. His name was Larry Walters, and he lived in Los Angeles. And Larry, from his childhood, wanted to fly. And so when Larry grew up, he joined the Air Force, and he was going to be this pilot. But when he got into the Air Force, he realized that his eyes were so bad that they wouldn't let him become a pilot. So he never got to realize his dream. And so whenever Larry was discharged from the military, he would sit in his backyard there in Los Angeles, and he would watch the jets fly overhead. And he was sitting in his nice little lawn chair that he bought from Sears and Roebuck, and he's sitting there bored, and he comes up with this plan. He's like, you know what? I think I'm going to run down to the Army-Navy store, and I'm going to buy me some weather balloons. And he says, I'm going to take my chair, and I'm going to tether it to my Jeep. And then I'm going to fill up these weather balloons, 4 foot in diameter. He's going to fill them up with helium, and he's going to strap them to his chair. And then so Larry fills up 42 of these balloons. Okay, and maybe he's like Tim the Tool Man. More power, you know, got to have more power. And so he fills up 42 of these things. And he's thinking, you know, I'm gonna cut the cord and I'll float up maybe about 30, 40 feet. I'll hover up there for a few hours. And then I'm going to take my pellet gun with me and I'm going to shoot out a balloon or two and I'll slowly descend back to the ground. Mm-hmm. You see where this is going? So Larry and his buddy, they get all these balloons filled up, and Larry straps in. He even grabs him some sandwiches and something to drink and his pellet gun, and he sits in his Sears and Roebuck lawn chair there, straps himself in, and he looks over at his buddy and says, cut the cord. And he cuts the cord to the Jeep, and he's thinking, I'm going to float up about 30 feet. Well, 30 feet came and went, and 100 feet came and went, and 1,000 feet came and went. 10,000 feet came and went, and at 16,000 feet, he finally leveled off. So now Larry's 16,000 feet in a lawn chair and some balloons, and he's cold, he's scared to death, and he's thinking, I'm afraid to even shoot one of these balloons, because what if I get unbalanced, and then I'm going to really be in trouble. And so after 14 hours of drifting above Los Angeles and countless reports from airline pilots saying, you're not going to believe this. I think there's a redneck from Texas up here. And so Larry finally, after 14 hours, he gets the courage and he says, I got to do something. He starts shooting them. And luckily, he descends down. But as he's coming down, the tethered cord that was tied to his Jeep catches some power lines, and he knocks out the Long Beach neighborhood for over 20 minutes of electricity. And when he finally climbs down to safety, there's some of those nice LAPD officers there with some handcuffs. And as they're leading him away, there was a reporter there to cover the story. And she said, Larry, what made you do it? And he said, a man just can't sit around. So, you know, after you hear a story or two like that, you decide, you think, you know what, I'm just going to be a pew potato. And I'm just going to sit here and I'm not going to do much. But Larry's efforts won him a $1,500 fine with the FAA. It also got him a prize from the Bonehead Club of Dallas. I didn't even know there's a Bonehead Club of Dallas, but there is. He also got the altitude record for gas-filled clustered balloons. He got an honorable mention in the Darwin Awards as well. But you know, life is sometimes a whole lot like Larry's lawn chair. Life can be exhilarating and frightening at the same time, can't it? We can get into a whole lot of trouble in this life when we're sitting around bored, amen? And most of our problems are created by the guy in the lawn chair, amen? We bring most of our problems on ourselves. But after hearing these stories, we think, you know what? I'm never going to venture out of my comfort zone again. But how many of you know that God has a plan for your life? God has a plan for each and every one of us. There's a plan that he has designed specifically for you. Everybody say me. But how many of you have messed up in this world? Amen? You did? Tell me what you did. No, just kidding. Don't. But we, I asked God to let me have some fun this morning. He said, okay. So, you know, we take that plan that God gives us and we take to ourselves, you know what? I've messed it up so bad that there is just no way that I can do anything for God. He'll never be able to use me. I've done too much. I've been too bad. And there's no way that God can use me. And how many of you like, I'm not taking up my own offering, but how many of you like my old offering bag there? You know, that kind of represents our life. Sometimes it's dark and void and empty, especially whenever we've messed up God's plan and we feel like we've just thrown our life away. And we think to ourselves, you know what? There's no way that God can ever forgive me of that and use me to do that. But I want to talk to you this morning about a man can't just sit around. You see, the Bible is full of stories of ordinary people who took some extraordinary risk. And some of them, they failed miserably. And some of them, they succeeded miraculously. But this morning, I want to talk about one man who failed successfully. And that is Peter. In Matthew 14:22-33, it says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. Now, this is right after they fed the 5,000, okay? All day long, they've been feeding the 5,000 with the fish and the bread, all right? And so he says, get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted, or you can read that in the King James Version, as tossed by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Amen. You know, Peter certainly didn't mind being on a boat. He grew up as a fisherman. He was a fisherman most of his life. And no doubt Peter had been in many, many storms. But this storm, the Bible says in the King James Version, says that it tossed the ship. And that's the Greek word that they used there means tortured or tormented. And this storm was one that was lasting a long time. It started in the evening and it went until the middle of the night. In the King James Version, they call it the fourth watch, which would be about 3 a.m. in the morning. And the disciples, they weren't worried about whether they were going to get to the other side or not. They were worried if they were going to live at all. They just wanted to stay alive. And then we see that the impossible seems to happen. Suddenly, one of them notices someone walking towards them on the water. And they were convinced that it was this ghost. And so they begin to cry out in terror. And, you know, you think to yourself, how could they not have known that that was Jesus? How could they have failed to see that that was Jesus? I think they're probably a lot like you and I. Sometimes we can't recognize Jesus in the middle of our storms either, can we? Amen. But we think to ourselves as we read in this story, what in the world was Jesus up to? Why was he taking a stroll across the lake at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know? Why wasn't he in the boat with the disciples where he belonged? Well, I think if we look at Mark's version of the story, you can find out that we'll get a clue from it. Mark 6:48, it says, "And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary or opposing unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by." Now, wait a minute. He would have passed them by? You have to stop here and realize what there's something going on. Why would he have passed them by? And so when you think about this, this is a pretty amazing thing that God did for us. You see, Jesus intended to pass them by, and that would be called, in the Greek word, they call that a parakomai. Okay? And what that is it's a word that they used in the Old Testament, and the translation refers to a surprising time or temporary appearance to an individual for the purpose of communicating a message. Okay? Nowadays, the theologians, they'll call that, instead of parakomai, they'll call it a theophany. And so whenever they had a theophany, you can look in the Bible, there were several of these. If you look in the book of Exodus 33, you'll find that Moses had a theophany. It says, "And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by." See, he didn't stop. Elijah had one. You can read about it in 1 Kings chapter 19. And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by." There's a pattern in these stories that I want you to see, something I want us to get out of each one of these cases, that God had to get someone's attention because he was about to call them to do something extraordinary. So whenever Jesus was intending to pass by the disciples, he wasn't hiding from them. He was actually revealing himself to them because he had something extraordinary for them to do. Amen? And I think that we can learn some things from their experience. You see, Jesus comes to us when we least expect it. Amen? In fact, if you're not looking for him, you might just miss him. You see, there were 12 disciples that were in that boat, but only one of them stepped out to meet Jesus on the waves. Peter recognized that Jesus was present, and even in the middle of his storm, he could tell, "This is Jesus." But I want you to notice something here. It says that he asked. He says, "Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." You see, he's not like our friend Larry in the lawn chair. He's asking, "Hey, is that you? Then I'm going to come to you." You know, see, I'm not talking about foolish impulses, but I'm talking about radical faith that we need to have in our lives. Although many times radical faith does seem foolish to the natural mind. Amen? But Jesus invited Peter to go on the adventure of his life. But to do this, he had to get out of his comfort zone. You see, the boat, it was safe, secure, and comfortable. And the water, it was rough and dark and cold. And if Peter gets out of the boat, there's a pretty good chance he's going to sink. But if Peter doesn't get out of the boat, there's a 100% chance he'll never walk on water. Amen? Can I tell you that there's more to life than just sitting in a boat? We were made for something. And that we were made for something more than just failure, amen? Or avoiding failure. You were made to leave your comfort zone behind and join God's plan for your life. He has this great adventure for you and for me. And Peter was just now getting his started. You see, there was another time that Peter jumped out of the boat to get to Jesus. But before we get to that, that's in John chapter 21. Before we get to that, we have to remember that before Peter jumps out of the boat the second time, that Jesus had been arrested, crucified, and buried, and resurrected, okay? And so here's Peter on that particular night, the Passover night, where Jesus tells him, he says, "Look, you're going to deny me 3 times. And Peter says, "Oh, Lord, I'd never deny you." And he says, "I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows in the morning, you're going to have denied me 3 times. And so if you know your Bible story, you know that all of a sudden, after three times of Peter denying, that the rooster crowed and Peter looked across and his eyes met Jesus's, and he must have felt like an extreme failure. He must have felt like he torn up God's plan and threw it away. But now we find ourselves fast forward to John chapter 21, and we see that Jesus is already resurrected, and he's walking along the beach of the shore there, on the shore, and he looks out and he sees the disciples in their boat. They're out there fishing, going about their business because their Savior, their Master, had been crucified, and they're just thinking, well, we just got to do something. So they get out there and they're fishing, and all of a sudden Jesus hollers out at them and says, hey, have you caught anything? No, not really. And Jesus says something that catches Peter's attention. He says, well, then throw your net on the other side. You see, Peter had already heard that once before in his life. And so whenever Peter heard that, he perked up and he looked and he said, that's Jesus. And this time, knowing that it was Jesus, now I want you to see the first time he didn't know if it was Jesus. Jesus, if this is really you, tell me to come. Now he knows that it's Jesus, and Peter doesn't ask permission. Peter just runs and dives off the boat and swims up to the shore, leaving all the other disciples in the boat to row it in. And so Peter gets to Jesus on the shore, and they build a fire. And they're sitting around the fire, and the other disciples are rowing the boat in. And they get there, and they got their fish. He says, let's make some breakfast. So they had some breakfast. And when breakfast was over, Jesus looks at Peter, and he asks him some really important question. He says, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, yeah, Lord, you know I love you. He said, okay, then feed my sheep, or basically lead my people. And so Peter's like, okay. And so he looks at Peter. He says, Peter, do you love me? A second time. He says, yes, Lord, I love you. He said, then feed my sheep. And then a third time, Jesus asked Peter, and by now Peter's getting his hurt feelings are starting to get hurt a little bit. And he's like, Lord, you know I love you. You know everything. You know I love you. He said, then feed my sheep. Can I tell you, I believe that there's no insignificance in the reason he asked him those three times. He asked him those three times, I believe, is because the three times that he denied him, he gave him a chance to realize that each time I've forgiven you and that there is forgiveness and that you have not destroyed that plan for your life, that plan for your life is still intact. Amen? And Jesus was letting Peter know that he had an incredible adventure that he wanted him to live out. Now, I think for a lot of us, we think that we've messed up too bad for Jesus' plan for ever using us for a kingdom purpose is gone. But that's not true. We see Peter in both of these stories where he's messed up. And the first thing that Peter does, we got to learn this, is he goes to Jesus. The first thing he does is he runs to Jesus. Amen? And Jesus, in both of these stories, responds in love, and he lets him know that failure isn't forever. And that's another thing we've got to learn, that failure is not forever. Amen? Jesus can forgive us of that failure. Even though Peter failed big time, Jesus still had big plans for him. And he still has big plans for you and me. But we can't just sit around if we want to fulfill God's plan for our life. I want to encourage you today that if you've messed up, don't just sit around. Do like Peter and run to Jesus. Run to Jesus and step out of the boat or dive out of the boat and get to Jesus. And there you'll find his forgiveness and his mercy. And you're also going to find that your plan, that God's plan for your life is still intact, as if it was never destroyed. Amen. You know what? When we find out that plan for our life, would you come to the piano for me, please? When we find out that we can run to Jesus, that he'll forgive us, and that plan is still intact, then it's time for you and I to realize that it's time to, we can't just sit around. We've got to get busy about our Father's work. We've got to get into this plan. We've got to find it, and we've got to move forward and take our step in that plan this morning. Stand with me, if you would. I want you to understand that the worst failure is not sinking in the waves. The worst failure is to never get out of the boat. Amen? How many of us this morning are ready to get out of the boat? We can say, I have come to Jesus and he has forgiven me and I'm ready to have that plan for my life fulfilled. If you're here this morning and you say, you know, Pastor Jack, I'm in that boat and I feel like I have messed up so bad that there's no way that God could ever use me. I want you to see this story today and I want you to understand that God didn't love Peter anymore than he loves you. He loves you. He loves you this morning. And he wants you to ask for that forgiveness so that he can tell you, hey, then do my plan. Then work my plan. Live out the adventure that I have planned for you this morning. So if you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Jack, I need to run to Jesus. I want us to do that this morning. I want us to just pray and ask Jesus to come into our lives and say, Jesus, I want you to take away the sins that you died for. I want you to cover me in that precious blood that can forgive all sins, that there's nothing too big for my God this morning. Amen? And I want you to give it to him. I want you to run to him and give that to him this morning and ask him for that forgiveness. But then I don't want you to just climb back into the boat. I want you to understand that it's time for you to get out and let God speak into your life. Get into his word each and every day and let him speak into your heart and into your mind his plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us, he says, for I know the plan that I have for you, says the Lord. See, he has a plan. We just got to follow it. I want us to pray together this morning. Two things. I want us to pray for salvation. One, if you're here and you don't know him, run to Jesus this morning and pray this prayer with us. And then for those of you that are here and you're thinking, you know what? I've given my heart to him, but I just don't have the courage to step out. Sometimes I know he's asking me to do something. He's asking me on my job, hey, will you speak to this person about me? Will you share my love with them? Or you're in a grocery store and he says, hey, do a good deed for this person, but you're so afraid that you're just going to look foolish. Jump out of the boat. A man can't just sit around, especially a Christian. We got to quit sitting around. We got to get busy about our Father's work because the time is at hand that Jesus is going to return. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you today and I ask the Lord that if there's anyone in this room that don't know you as their personal Savior, I pray, God, that they would right now at this very moment run to you and say, Jesus, I need you. I need you in my life. I need you to forgive me of my sins and wash them away and come into me, Lord Jesus, and help me to live for you from this day forward, God. I want to follow you and the plan that you have for me. God, I think I've destroyed it, but this morning I've heard a different word. A word says that your plan is still intact for me if I come to you. And God, I believe that today. And I come to you this morning and I say, Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation this morning for those that prayed that prayer. I thank you for that. But God, now I pray that you just minister to the heart of every person in here that knows you and that you know them by name. God, that you would begin to unfold and reveal your plan to each and every one of us. God, I hear people say all the time, I just don't know what it is God wants me to do. Father, I pray that you'll give them a desire right now. Put a burden within inside their heart at this very moment to get into your word and begin to read it and to hear it and to listen to it and let your voice begin to unfold that plan to them today. God, don't let anyone else speak this plan into their life. God, that's not your plan. God, we need to hear from you. We need you to speak to us this morning. Speak to us your plan as we lean in and we begin to learn and grow and to become more like you each and every day, God. I pray that you just unfold and unfold and unfold and unfold this plan in our lives, God. But Lord, please don't let us just sit down. Please don't let us just be bored in our Christian walk with you. God, you have such an exciting adventure for each and every one of us. And God, I pray this moment would be a moment where every one of us says, you know what? I'm going to take that next step. I'm going to move forward in my relationship with Jesus today. Today, not tomorrow. Today, Jesus, I want to move forward. Lord, I pray that over every person in this room today. Father, I pray that you'd be with us this week as we go into our homes and into our jobs and into our neighborhoods and into those stores, God, that you would just go before us and go with us and go after us, God, and let us be your light into this world and into this community. And Lord, I pray for a harvest of souls. I pray for workers of the harvest. I pray, God, that you would just begin to move in our midst today in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Hey, God bless you. Thank you so much for being here today. Pastor Wooten will be back next week, and so be sure and come back next week. You know, don't forget, Father's Day's coming, and then we also have our giving options in the back there on each side of the sound booth or the kiosk out front, and you can give in your offerings at that time. God bless you. Have a great week.